Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with
Matthew Gardner, Director of Passion.
And
Natasha Diaz, I'm playing Fosca in Passion.
And it's obviously at Signature Theater. And thanks so much for coming in, because I saw you as Anita in West Side Story and loved it. It was so great. And we had Tony and Maria in for that, but it's nice to have you in here. But also you've seen her in Mary Magdalene and all kinds of stuff. So welcome finally into WTOP.
Thank you.
You too, sir. So all the shows you've directed there, we've had your brother in here. We've never had you.
Yes, I'm thrilled to be here.
Awesome. Well, before we go too much into the nitty-gritty, let's just give them the basic premise, because I know it's funny how a show can win Best Musical like in 1994, but yet it's still, I feel like it's lesser known now 25 years later. So remind our listeners, if they somehow missed it on Broadway, what it's about. Fiery Love Triangle.
There you go. Fiery Love Triangle. It is the story of an army captain in Italy in 1860 who is sent to an outpost and meets the cousin of his superior. Her name is Fosca, who Natasha is playing, and she is ailing and would, by most standards, be considered unattractive. And
especially by standards in 1860.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the show sort of looks at our ideas of what love is. It challenges many love tropes that we've become accustomed to. You know, we're used to two really attractive people falling in love really easily. We're also willing to accept two less than attractive people falling in love if they're if their personalities are pleasing. We're even willing, I think, to accept a man who is less attractive falling in love with a beautiful woman. But this really looks at what it means, what beauty means, what we expect from love. And it's a really beautiful story written by two amazing authors. And you don't get much better than Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine. So.
I mean, come on. Speaking of which, isn't this, I think this show is your 29th Sondheim at Signature. Is that a record? Or at least the most produced? You guys, your theater is the most to do Sondheim, right?
Yes, it is.
Why do you keep going back to that? Well, I mean, it's obvious, but.
Yeah, I mean, 29 shows. We've had 30 seasons. It's the most that Sondheim's ever been produced in any theater in America. And, you know, we do it because nobody writes better musicals than Stephen Sondheim, and that goes everywhere from West Side Story and Gypsy to Sweeney Todd and Follies and now Passion, one of his more complicated and challenging pieces, which is probably why it is lesser produced. Not because it isn't brilliant, because it very much, for me, is one of his, it's his masterpiece. It's one of his most perfect.
Ooh, I love that.
There you go.
All right. Why do you think he says it's perfect, but why do you think he says that? What is it perfect in your mind?
Well, he's much more versed. Matthew is much more versed in musical theater than I am. And I actually didn't know a lot about this piece when he made it clear that he wanted to do this with me. And I'd heard it, like, you know, you spoke about it in like dark rooms and hushed tones, like a passion as this really sort of like this very epic, tempestuous show that had a lot of people, that affected a lot of people very, very strongly. And I just got to know the music very slowly, and it's truly some of the most sweeping melodies, the most like they just grab you in the most epic, poetic. He really just unleashes all of his romanticism with this score, it feels very personal. Him and Sondheim, I mean, Sondheim and Lapine's treatment of the show feels incredibly personal, and what they achieve in it, coming from the novel, which is the source material, written by Tarchetti, and it's a novel called Fosca. And it's just this incredible Italian story about a very, it's an unbelievable circumstance, a very strange and interesting circumstance. And at a time where a lot of societal things were acting upon people, and, you know, how people could reconcile their beings, their passions, their desires, and who they actually are, who they really are. And I think that speaks so much to audiences, because we still, you know, grapple with how to be your authentic self and really own all parts of ourselves and love. And this is a very, very bold. It's just very bold.
I love it. Well, 1,000 points for getting tempestuous in there. That's pretty good. That's really good. Tell me about your character. What drew you to this role?
Wow. Really simply, the minute I read it on the page, I said, I know her. I could have written this, not as beautifully, meaning I could write it, but
why is that? What about her did you?
She speaks her heart. She needs things. She's in pain. She's suffering. And she asks for what she wants and needs and expresses incredibly freely how she feels. And that's just something that women did not do.
In 1860s Italy.
Especially not ugly women. Women considered if your only currency as a woman was how lovely you were and how pretty you were so that you would be desirable. She in the novel speaks about, and also in the musical, about how you can't know what it's like to have your only currency be. And if you're not lovely, then what are you? You're worth nothing. And you can have, and she's an unbelievably intelligent, sensitive, self-reflective, astute. And she is passionate. And it's, I love taking what I saw in the book and giving it a fair, I hope I'm giving it a fair showing. That just because you are passionate and you feel things deeply, it doesn't mean you're crazy. That doesn't mean you're damaged. It doesn't mean you are, it means you feel.
You're alive.
It means you're alive. Right. Exactly. I mean, exactly right. And if I have the effect that I want to have, people will embrace the part of themselves that they recognize in her and in other people.
Yeah. Beautifully said. Yeah. Who's your Giorgio?
Claiborne Elder.
Dish on your co-star here for a second.
Oh, he's, look.
Well, actually, your other co-star, too, because it's a love triangle. So.
Well, I get to watch Steffi, from who's playing Clara, mm-hmm. from afar. Gorgeous, gorgeous Steffi Gerard.
Stephanie Lee, she goes by, is her stage name. Yeah. Sorry, Stephanie Lee.
Gotcha.
We
know who it is.
We sort of play the two women that pull mm-hmm. him in different directions. So we don't have a lot to do with each other, but I do look at her gorgeous right. scenes across the stage. But Claiborne Elder, I didn't know him. I mean, we have, you know, I've seen pictures of him. He was in Sunday in the Park with George that Matthew did how many years ago?
How many years ago is that now? Three years ago, yeah.
Oh my God, unbelievable. And that was
20 some times ago.
and that was a show that was near and dear to Matthew's heart, and I sort of followed him in that and went a few times because I had never seen it on stage. So, but I never, like, I didn't know him at all. I mean, he's just this like strapping, powerful guy. And, you know, when you come to a piece like this, which is so personal and it's so, you get so enmeshed with someone, I think what's Every journey like that I've had is different. And I think this dramatic association that we've built is very delicate. It's like we meet in this place when we're doing the show. We've run through it three times. Mm-hmm. And we're at a place where it's like, okay, to me, three times is like, now you know, like, right. Oh, yeah, now I can hit this.
Right.
And what we've constructed so far, I can say, is thrilling to be in from the inside. I see what it's doing to me. I see what it's doing to him. I feel what's happening in the room. And it's a very delicate, I don't know, like a, what's the word?
Whirlwind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like
alchemy.
Alchemy. The alchemy. The alchemy that happens.
Yes.
Is very special,
yeah.
And you don't dip into it until it happens,
right.
And it's the beast is coming alive, and it's beautiful, it's terrible, and it's gorgeous.
I've been described as all three of the.
I can see that
you're directing this beast, this whirlwind. What? How does it actually play out visually? Is it true that there's a runway with two audience on the side? And within that, how do you actually, you know, symbolically stage certain things? Like, what do we see?
Sure. So when we started to talk about how this might play in Signature's very small, intimate theater, you know, it only seats 277 people, and we have the luxury of sort of rearranging the seats based on the show and the story we want to tell. Mm-hmm. And the set designer, Lee Savage, who's amazing, and I started talking about how this might be configured. And this is the first time we've ever done something in a runway setup. Some other people call it an alley stage or... Mm-hmm. But anyways, we at Signature are calling it a runway. The audience is on two sides, which presents its own challenges to make sure that the story is being equally told to both sides.
And that's different than being in the round? I mean...
It is different. It's very different. The angles you're playing. I mean, not to get too, like, in the nitty-gritty of...
No,
like,
let's go, man. This is what we're doing.
It's very, like, it's just the way you're playing angles and what are the most powerful positions in the space. It's just all different. Okay. So it's... Allie, there was a learning curve for me, but I find it really exciting. I just think it's a very exciting dynamic, and especially for this story, which is about Giorgio, who's being pulled to two sides. It just works really, I think, really beautifully. We'll see today. Today we start tech in the theater for the first time. So it'll be interesting to watch it all unfold in that space.
Now you said the magic words that, mm-hmm. like, 'cause I get off on when things aren't just, you know, yes, I'm sure there's beautiful period costumes, but I like when it's actually serving a symbolic purpose. And you just said, he's torn between two. So that's the two sides. I'm in.
Yeah.
You saw it. Yeah, I love when people do that. Awesome. All right. Well, costume wise and set wise, what do we see?
Yeah, so Lee Savage, who has designed many shows in the D.C. area at Shakespeare Theater and at Signature, is doing the set, and it's beautiful. It's it feels very Italian, for lack of a better word, but also sort of represents this Giorgio's mind and the show itself, which is a sort of fever dream. And there's the entire ceiling of the space is covered in flowers that are sort of devouring the space in his mind, and flowers are a very large image in the piece. And the costumes are done by Bob Perziola, who has also done many things at Shakespeare Theater as well at Signature, and works all around the country and globally in the opera world. He has just designed the most stunningly beautiful costumes. Like, if I know your listeners cannot see these images, but
Theater
of the mind. They're stunning. Yeah. And in person, they're stunning as well. So it's to work with artists like those two is really special.
We were actually going to outfit this with a bunch of flowers on the canvas, but I didn't want it to feel like a fever dream.
There you go. Exactly.
You mentioned the melodies and the music. Drill down into that a little bit for me more, Natasha. Like, remind us some of the songs and some of your favorites.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, what's fascinating to me to watch Sondheim does so much with structure within just the music. It takes an incredible journey musically where Clara is in one place musically and Fosca is in one place musically. And as the show progresses, they literally switch sides. Mm-hmm. Where the themes that Fosca had started out with, Clara ends up with. Mm-hmm. And you see how it shows you what's happening in Giorgio's mind. And that is, even just structurally, that's incredible. Besides the fact that there are melodies like In Loving You, Loving You is not a choice, it's who I am. I mean, you don't have anybody musicalizing that thought more poetically and more epically than Sondheim. Also, I mean, Fosca's first song is very complex. I've done, you know, I was in the ensemble of Sweeney Todd, so learning those crazy intervals that he does is exciting. But this is, he has an emotional landscape of each song that is very specific, and you don't expect what you hear from one minute to the next. He's constantly surprising you with where you think he's going. And it literally keeps lifting you. And it's performed as a play. That's another thing that is so fascinating about this show, is that you don't have to, there's no, it's like a movie. You're expected to let it wash over you and just receive it. There's no breaks. There's no applause breaks. So that it relieves you of that of that call to say, yes, we hear you. Thank you very much for that. But this is just we ask you to just sit here
and experience
and just experience it. Wow. So it's yeah.
Well, as they thematically cross, I'm going to get up and go to the other side of the room. So we can keep the symbolic thing going on. Everyone else stay put, but I'm going to see it from both sides and see it. Awesome. Well, let's go into it. I mean, we mentioned West Side Story. Any good stories from those days?
Oh, yeah. So it's the first preview. First preview of West Side Story at Signature Theater. Oh, we're all totally excited. We're so excited. We're ready. Out of the gangbusters, out of the gate. My Bernardo, Sean Ewing. Bernardo and I have never been so in love. He's kicking butt doing that first
prologue
yeah. where the Jets and the Sharks they tells the story of them rumbling and exactly. But right, exactly. And Sean rips his meniscus.
I remember hearing this.
In the first 10 minutes.
So that wasn't snapping you heard.
That was actually snapping. So
meniscus snapping.
I'm in my dressing room getting beautiful and getting ready. And he comes running off stage and he's like, I'm down. I can't. So we're addressing what we should do.
And you're like, we're counting on you to be there.
Well, listen.
So what do you do?
That's right. That's right. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, don't panic. What should we do? Next thing we have to dance is the dance at the gym. So I'm thinking, okay, no lifts. No, we won't do any of that lift. You just stand there and I'll dance around you and it'll be, you know, we'll sell it.
He went back out there.
We went back out there.
Oh, my God.
And so here's what happened. But as you can know, you remember that was a three-quarter thrust, right? And so a lot of the movement was also up to the front and then down to the back. Well, and it being a dance battle between Riff and Graziella and Bernardo and Anita, it is very, very tightly constructed that you have formations that keep you far away from one another. Mm-hmm. For obvious reasons. I mean, it is
this
a battle.
This is fascinating. Right. I want to know how we got through this.
It is a battle. So the one big thing that we couldn't do was this big running slide and then lift onto his shoulder. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do that. But we still have to mind, because there's a ton of people on stage, so you have to maintain your formation so that you don't put anyone else in danger or confuse anyone else. But at that point, everyone knew that he was hurt, so they knew to look out for him.
Did the audience know at this point, or did you, do you
nope.
think?
No,
we,
and
wow.
I was nope. I was in the audience, and I thought, and I didn't know until I saw them start to eliminate the lifts, and then I was like, something's wrong.
So we're in the dance at the gym, and it's going fine. I'm dancing around him, giving drama, you know, sassing it up. And we get to the running lift, which we don't do, but we run the pattern. But the problem is, I get there, and normally I'm up in the air. But since I'm down on the floor, I'm given my sass, and I run right into Graziella, who literally kicks me in the face. Square in the face.
This story just keeps getting better.
Boom. And I'm coming down, and I'm going, okay. Go, Mom, Bo, go, Mom. And I'm like, oh, something's really wrong.
She's like, I felt pretty.
And, you know, that's what I did. I damn well did. It was the
I'm
right.
just going to keep throwing puns. This is good.
So,
I love it.
And so, you know, Tony and Maria have that beautiful moment at the gym and everyone else leaves.
Yeah.
Well, I left the stage and blood was
gushing
all over my purple dress.
Oh, my God.
All over my mirror. and all over, like, my dressing room. And it just kept coming.
Are there pictures of
and
this?
And I was no, because it was a moment. And it was like, oh, my God, what are we going to put her in? Because she's now ruined her $5,000 dress.
Oh, my God.
That they made for me. And it was like, oh, my God, okay. Get it off. What are we going to put her in? So they took me out of the next scene, which was easily done. But we were doing all of this splicing as we went.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they had the balcony scene and I'm sopping up the blood and they're literally like rubbing it out of the dress. And it, you know,
out damn spot.
And the balcony scene happens with Tony Muir, and I think it's about
maybe like 8 minutes.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So.
Oh, my God.
Cut to 8 minutes and I'm on the stage in my purple dress. The blood had stopped and there was no stain.
Huh?
And I was like, I guess everything's okay.
How did that? That's miraculous.
I don't
know. Miracle crew backstage. Miracles.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And I mean, I've done America under many circumstances, but that was really intense because it's a difficult number, stamina wise. And having been like, I thought I broke my nose.
Right.
That was it. I thought it was broken. But the fact that the blood, there was no trace on that beautiful purple dress, nothing. I mean, that was, so that was a way to open,
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that more than lived up to the billing. I'm teasing it. I was like, well, this is great.
Yeah.
But let me follow up. So the blood was gone, but how about your co-star, Bernardo? How long did it take for him to heal?
Well, he had to be out of the show for, was it 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
No.
It was a long
not
time.
Even. He was out for 10 days.
10 days.
Wow. 10 days.
It felt like forever.
It felt like forever.
But when you say break a leg, you were like, come on, dude.
Well,
not
no.
Literally.
I mean, thank God he's sort of like a monkey because he used to be a gymnast.
Okay.
So he's one of those like crazy guys who will like get up and swing on anything.
Right.
And like, you know, he was, and I was like, you're not leaving me. So he literally, literally developed this routine with the incredible the physical therapists.
Yeah.
And he was in there every single day.
Wow.
And he finished the run. When he came back after opening, he finished the run with a torn meniscus.
Good on him. That is badass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he would have me, as he was trying to get back this strength, he would tell me to come upstairs so he could run around with me on his shoulder, like running around. I was like, you're insane. But that's the kind of determination and discipline and mind over body that is like, it was incredible.
And
but that's,
quality at Signature Theater,
at,
which
hello?
Is now showing passion.
Yeah.
Speaking of passion, right? Like
that's the passion right there. Oh my God.
Yeah.
In closing, I'd just like to, you know, now that you've had about, 20 minutes to warm up, why should our listeners come out?
Yeah. I mean, I think it is a very rarely produced piece of musical theater by our greatest musical theater composer, living composer. And it is produced not frequently because it's very hard to get done well. And Signature, I mean, I'm directing it, but Signature is doing it well and doing it correctly. And even though we only have 277 seats, most people would look at that as, well, how are we going to make this smaller? How are we going to do this with less musicians or a smaller cast? And we're doing it full out. We're doing it with the full original orchestration, the cast, the size of the original production in that small space in a way that I promise you haven't seen it been done before, with an amazingly talented group of leads led by Natasha.
How many pieces in the orchestra?
Ooh. It is 12, 13, 14. We're going to meet them on Friday. So then I would have the
14 piece orchestra.
Yeah. And I would add to that, like, even if nothing was happening on stage, to go and listen to this kind of, it is the most romantic. It is the most, passionate, romantic, exciting, dark,
tempestuous.
And I mean, Matt is probably sick of hearing me say this, but I mean, the staging is perfect, and it's not easy to do. It is very, very, very difficult to do. And when you don't even know that things are coming on and moving, and you don't, all of a sudden your eye goes somewhere, and it's going to be so romantic. It's such a romantic experience, and it already
so bring a date?
Yeah, the promo we have out, people are like watching it over and over and over and over again because it's so moving. And I think that's the promo. Wait till you see the show.
But when you're breaking refresh buttons, you know you.
That's right. that's right.
Well, hopefully they'll do that on this interview because thanks so much. This was great, guys.
Awesome.
And again, it's Passion at Signature Theater. Remind me the dates.
It runs August 14th.
To September 23?
There you go.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. Seriously, this was a blast. Thanks so much, and best of luck with the show. I can't wait to see it, and I am going to switch sides, I promise.
Yes. Please
awesome.
Do.
Thanks.